This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the FEMA Region 5 and the new media production studio hideout designed by Audimute.com in Coldwater, Michigan. The lead stories are Zoom tips while working from home, COVID-19 telehealth initiative, Skype sees massive jump in usage, and Google, they say they can handle the load. I want to welcome you to episode 1434 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, March 30th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy, or you can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/Insider. We are live once again. We're available at geeknewscentral.com/live, live.geeknewscentral.com. We're also, of course, on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Twitch. Well, just about everywhere one podcast live. Had to turn my headset volume up a little bit. So we're live everywhere. And those of you on Facebook, make sure you say hello. We definitely want to hear from you while we're live tonight. And don't forget, we're going to have a listener call-in segment at the end of the show. You'll be able to call in and basically put your 2 cents worth in. But if you're a brand new listener to the show, I want to welcome you to the podcast. I want to make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. When you're on the website, get subscribed to the show. It's real easy to do. You can get subscribed to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn. Subscribe on Android, Stitcher, by email, or just use a standard RSS feed. You have no idea what I'm talking about. Click on the more subscribe options. We'll teach you how to subscribe to a podcast. Of course, you can subscribe to the newsletter when you're on the website as well. That link's found on the website. And more importantly, you can listen to this show anywhere podcasts are at, including blueberry.com. You can listen on your smart home device, even just by saying the magic words to get that device's attention and say, play the podcast Geek News Central. You can join our chat room. We've got a cool one that's on basically a Mastodon server. You can come over and hang out on that, or our Discord channel if you just want to hang out with a mobile app. We're on Skype as well. So it's another location that you can hang out with the Ohana at. The link to the Discord channel is on geeknewscentral.com in the show notes. So don't hesitate in doing that. Of course, you can contact me very simply via email. geeknews@gmail.com is the email address to use to stay connected with me. And of course, you can reach me on Twitter @geeknews. You can follow me on Facebook. All my partner shows are at Geek News Central as well. The GNC Week in Review by Mr. Kirk Corliss, The Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain, The Pro Gear Site, written by my team, and of course, The New Media Show, co-hosted myself, Mr. Rob Greenlee, and the now defunct Podcast Legend Show. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. And of course, this show is sponsored by the longest running continuous sponsor of podcasts. That's our good friends at GoDaddy.com. And you can save lots of money at GoDaddy. Real simple to do so. Go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And all those codes are there for your savings pleasure. You can save up to 87% on products and services. And when we use one of my codes, you support my entire team and this site and this podcast. 30% off new product purchases. So really, there's a deal here for anyone. Doesn't matter if you're a current GoDaddy customer or not. 30% off new product purchases, $499new.coms on a new or transferred. This is, again, for new customers only. And the best deal really in the GoDaddy entire ecosphere is a $1 a month economy hosting for the first year of the free domain, or a $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year of the free domain. Really, those two deals, if you want to get a WordPress site, $12, and included is the .com. So if you're thinking about .com, all you got to do is click on that link at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, and that will take you to the website. Lock in your $1 a month savings, and basically you get that $8.49 value.com and a website, again, for $12. Now, pay attention to those second and third year pricings. You can lock those in at the same time. You can lock that pricing, or you can suck just a year, and to get started. Great way to start a little project, see if it's going to, where can you start an online website, something that you want to do, some sort of project? There's really no other deal like this to get something set up and get started to play around with. $12. Or for those of you with businesses, free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal business and business plus plans. Again, all those codes can be found at GeetonCentral.com/GoDaddy. We want you to definitely check them out. I want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here. I know many of you are right now maybe sitting at home with no job, trying to figure out what to do. You got that money coming from Uncle Sugar. $12. $12 can get you started on something today. So think about that as you're kind of deciding what the next steps are over here over the next month or so. It doesn't look like we're going to be out of this lockdown for another month. So might as well do something productive. Or, you know, just watch Netflix, I guess. But anyway, so I hope that you'll consider using one of my promo codes. I want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here and your ongoing support of this in these troubling times. But anyway, hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Got a great show lined up for you tonight. Special, of course, again, we're going to invite listeners to call in at the end of the podcast on Skype. You can come in and have a chit-chat. We can talk about tech. We can talk about you. We can talk about what's going on in the space. Talk about if you need a job, really anything. Talk about, and this is what we're finding. Rob and I, with the new media show, we're going to do a special one on Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific. No, excuse me, 3 p.m. Eastern. And it's going to be a Q&A show. We're going to see what kind of podcasting questions. It's just going to be him and I kind of a midweek show. And it's just because we think those of you that are out there you're at home, you're maybe working from home, maybe need a break. And this is kind of the plan here for this show as well, is on Monday and Thursday nights, give a little chance for you at the end of the show to chit chat. I might even bring in a co-host in a near future show, someone fun to come in and we can do the show together. Nothing but just talk about, mix this thing up a little bit. So anyway, let me get a sec. Hello, Morgan, Kim, Meg, Robert. Thank you so much. And glad you were still able to watch the show at 2 a.m. Oh my gosh. Yeah, you're in the middle of the night in your area, but thanks for tuning in. So, what I'm just going to catch you guys up with is probably what y'all have been doing is did the show Thursday, Friday. What did I have going on Friday? A bunch of stuff, I guess. Saturday, we did the just normal work stuff during the day. Couldn't go out to dinner. You know, it's kind of one of those things. Saturday, I went, we did the new media show in the morning at noon. And then I did a live event for a virtual independent podcast conference. Did that Saturday at 5 p.m. And frankly, on Sunday, I did nothing. I had great plans, but it was rainy and windy. We'd planned on going cutting some trees down and clearing some brush out in the on the farm, and none of that got done because it couldn't quit raining. So I spent Sunday just watching TV and Netflix, going through everything. So anyway, that's what's just kind of catch up on what's been going on. We'll get into the tech here. I hope you and your families are safe. I hope that you're not going too stir crazy out there. I know that I've had a little bit of case of this from time to time in the last couple of days of being punchy. Let's see here. I did edit that. So I'm going to put this banner up for those of you that are watching in. You can get Skype set up now if you want to call in at the end of the show. You can add that address that's shown in the lower third on the website or on the live stream. And I'm not going to announce it over the air, but you can add that. Don't call in, please. Just add me. I should hear it beep behind me. So anyway, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the tech space. And it brings me, it kind of triggered something for me today. This particular article, and I don't know why, but FCC Chairman Pai proposed COVID-19 telehealth program. The CARES Act, which spent $2.3 trillion of our taxpayer dollars here in the United States, gives the agency $200 million to help promote telehealth. And before I get into that, this can be what I would consider to be a watershed moment. If I go back and I think back to 9/11, where I worked at 9/11 in the Navy was an outfit. I think I talked about it a lot here. It was called Special Projects. I flew, did all kinds of crazy stuff that I really can't talk about. But I will say this. We always had wish list, and we had moments where we would be, let's just say, doing our mission, and there would be this aha moment. Here was something that was a limitation or something that caused a roadblock. And after 9/11, what we found was that if we had an idea and you could throw money at it and fix it, a lot of that got approved very, very quickly. And a lot of innovation happened and a lot of advancements in the military happened, especially in the organization I worked in. If you had an idea, that idea usually, if it wasn't too crazy, ended up supporting the country. And people would come up with all kinds of ideas. Some of them were insanely like, are you kidding me? We can't do that. And then the more we'd think about it, be like, well, maybe we can. It's just an infrastructure issue, or maybe it's a paperwork issue, or maybe there's a, you know, just there was sometimes some sort of bureaucracy limitation. And when you're trying to support people and you can't get a job done because of bureaucracy, and we're seeing some of that already here during COVID-19, when these national emergencies happen, governments, just like the administration has done, is they've cleared the roadblocks, they've cleared the bureaucracy, it's maybe there's some wasteful spending, but what we found in our experience is it fundamentally changed and made things much, much better. So we're going to throw $200 million at telehealth. We've all known for many, many years, telehealth should be awesome, right? But what slowed it down? HIPAA, lots of bureaucracy. They've waived all that now. You need to see your doctor. You can do a Skype call with your doctor and say, I have a sore throat, doc. This is what's going on. Point your camera at your mouth. There is no limitations. You talk about it, see what's going on. They either refer you to a clinic. They'll either write you a script on the spot. It's you don't have to go to the doctor's office. So, and that's the way it should have been for years, right? Why do we go to the doctor's office? Get on the scales, get our blood pressure taken. Right? You know, you can buy a blood pressure cuff at Walmart for $40 or on Amazon. You know, if you're a diabetic, you poke your finger and give them your sugar level. There's all kinds of things that we can provide. There's stuff on our, I'm not watching my smartwatch today, but there's stuff on the smartwatch. If you need to send an EKG, you can do that. There's all these things now that we can feed back to the doctor. Doctor, take your temperature. You can do a temperature, you know, show him the thermometer. Yeah, I'm running a temperature. No, it's normal. Or you can do this stuff now where before, because of all the bureaucracy, that was not possible. If it was, it was limited implementation because it costs a lot of money. So just, you know, here we spent $2.3 trillion or whatever it is. And the FCC, I kind of thought, why the heck does the FCC need $200 for telehealth? And I read the second really part of this. He said that it's designed to help healthcare providers pay for broadband services and devices they need to provide telehealth service. So what we could do here is we could fundamentally change a lot of things in America, even though we're sacrificing now significantly, we're all getting stir crazy. We started a third week at home, but desperate times allows for common sense ideas to be forward to to really allow stuff to happen that would not normally happen. Now, there is going to be some pullback. There's going to be some restrictions. And I remember, you know, one such restriction that happened to us, and it was one of those incidents where I was getting ready to retire from the Navy, and the lady says, "You have any regrets?" And I said, "I have one." And I kind of described what that regret was. And the regret was because even though things was really opened up and a lot of choices were able to be made at the very lowest levels, when things kind of calmed down a little bit, they kind of constrained a little bit. And they took some of those decision factors away from the guys that were, as example, maybe pulling a trigger or making a decision on something. And it had to tighten back up to a certain extent. But what we learned was, is there was the ability to be able to do this when we need to, and it fundamentally changed. And I'm kind of walking around this thing a little bit, but it allowed us to fundamentally change how we did things, because no one could ever say anymore, "It's too hard." It's not too hard. You just have to have the national desire to make a change and to be able to save people's lives. And for us, we were saving people's lives in a different way. Now we have the healthcare system that has to save people's lives. We have to think differently, think out of the box. So this is where you, as Joe Q citizen, if you're sitting around thinking, "Why in the Sam hell don't we do something like this?" If you're thinking about it, 100 other people are thinking about it as well. And you may ask, why aren't we doing this way? Why can't this be changed? And then this is where you use social media and you speak up and you make your voice heard and call your governor's staff or whatever it may be and ask why. Why are we doing it this way? Why can't we do it this way? And this is where people will be more receptive, because they're desperate. Don't call them and give them some stupid idea, but they're desperate for out-of-the-box thinking to save lives. And there's money now that's going to trickle into different pots of the government that maybe your idea is one of those ideas where someone goes, "Well, why haven't we done that? And let's do that. Let's move. You know, here's five, here's 10, here's 20, here's $100 million to make this happen." And this is a time, probably one of the few times ever, that you, as a citizen, if you have some idea and you're going WTF over, you can make a suggestion and it might make it pass or into the right hands to say, "Ding." Now, it could be the weirdest idea in the world. You know, it really could. You know, I had this idea of, you know, let food trucks feed truck drivers on the highway, you know, at rest stops. If they're going to close the restaurants, let the food trucks feed truck drivers, right? Well, I just heard recently they're not necessarily, food trucks aren't necessarily feeding truck drivers, but food trucks are feeding first responders. Same thing, right? To a certain extent. So we have to be able to think out of the box here a little bit. And this is there's going to be a window of time before they tighten the screws back down and take some of these freedoms. Now, you know, right now there is going to be, you know, you have the chance of your healthcare information being hacked. There's all that stuff that's going to be in there. But we have to be able to kind of think what's going to happen. So, you know, if they're going to give $200 million and it really gets to the healthcare providers to use telehealth services to combat COVID-19, I think that's great. You know, do you really want to go to your doctor's office now and hang out? Heck no. And they don't want you there either. But you still might have something going on, ear, nose, throat, whatever. You know, you got a little issue somewhere, something's going on, maybe you got some GI, who knows, right? And they're going to say, okay, well, maybe you are going to have to come in and we're going to have to draw some blood. Or maybe I'm going to trust you to what you're saying, and we're going to, you know, here's the script we're going to write, or here's what I want you to do. And I think this is important where we're at today. Hey, Dan. Hey, Robert. Thanks for joining the show tonight. So this is what happens when there is an emergency and when things change a little bit. And this is why it's a good time as a citizen to be able to come up with some ideas. If you think, and you know, believe me, I had guys come into my office and like, hey, Todd, or they say, hey, Chief, when I was in active duty, they're like, what do you think about this? Just a guy that was on the floor, maintenance guy, or maybe one of the junior electronic technicians or whatever, they'd come in and I'd be like, wow, that's a cool idea. Let's write this up and run this up the flagpole. And if it made sense, you know, 2 weeks later, I was implementing some idea that came in from the floor. And really, because everyone is 100% laser focused to a specific mission and getting stuff done, making it easier, clearing the red tape. And, you know, you still have to go through a certain amount of oversight. They're not just going to let you do something, but, you know, that oversight, everyone is motivated to make it happen. If it's a good idea, they're going to go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Oh, that law, we can waive that right now. This, this, and this we can waive. And boom, if it's not going to kill, maim, or hurt, let's go ahead and approve this, right? So that's where we're at. So anyway, if you wonder why $200 million is going to telehealth, let's hope this transforms telemedicine. And lower, because basically, another thing too, as we isolate and engage in social distancing, there's going to be the precedent said, hey, we did it then. Why can't we work within these constraints? You know, I don't think hackers are worried about your Skype call with your doctor, right? He's still on his end, got his computer, or maybe he's at the home with his laptop writing up, or maybe he's not writing them up. Maybe, well, usually the doctor scribbles something on a paper and someone transcribes it later. Maybe he's writing up his own notes on you. So it's a big, huge change. And plus, he doesn't have to scrub up and change up every time someone new comes into the office. So anyway, just my thought process here, and kind of triggered me what happened on post 9/11 as far as how at least the place I worked was fundamentally changed forever. Literally. All right, 7 Zoom tips. Well, I've been using Zoom and I used it 4 times today. 7 Zoom tips for working from home. People don't need to see you in your room. Well, you can basically put up a false back screen. I have a road closed sign in at my desk where the computer is for my daily work. So everybody comments about my road closed sign seems kind of appropriate at this point. They don't need to see you in your room, and most of them won't care anyway. I always do kind of like to look in the background at people's stuff. So self-police your background. If you're working out of your bedroom, make sure people know that you're on live camera so that you have someone walk through in a state of undress. So, you know, make sure people know you're working and that you'll be on camera and they can see what's behind you. It's always the funny things you see in Instagram posts, right? Someone takes a selfie and it's not the Instagram thing that's funny, it's what's behind them. Or you can get your room cleaned up, take a picture of it, and use that as your virtual background so that they'll just see your tidied up room behind you. They have a setting that allows you to touch up your appearance. It's kind of like an iPhone camera filter. It's very basic, but it does smooth your appearance a little. It seems to work well with virtual backgrounds. And also control your sharing habits. Mute your microphone. You can turn off your video sometimes. You don't always have to be on video all the time. When it's time to speak, just tap the space bar and it unmutes you. There's some other keyboard tips as well. You want maybe to make sure you work a little bit on your light. So if you got a window beside you that's blowing you out, maybe you pull the blind down for the meeting. And you can also record stuff. If you have a paid account with Zoom, you can record it. And there's some additional stuff available via the app as well. But I find myself now, during a meeting, if someone else is talking, and I've basically turned off the video, it's given me the chance to get up, maybe get a bottle of water. I'm still listening, but they don't know I'm out of my seat. That's a little thing like that. So anyway, 7 Zoom tips for working at home. Microsoft Skype sees massive increase in usage as coronavirus spreads. And people are turning to Skype in a big, big way. I particularly do most of my meetings on Zoom or in the Slack video. But I know some of you may not have that. But they said that the company says 40 million people are using Skype daily. And up 70% from a month ago. I'm getting a message. What is this message? Had to fix change. Oh, okay. My brother-in-law just sent me a text message. So anyway, 40 million people are using Skype daily now, up 70% from just a month ago. The company said it's seen 220% increase in Skype to Skype calls. All told, the company says it had tallied 200 million active users in the past 6 months. So Skype is another tool getting some heavy, heavy workout right now in the space. Google, they're saying that they can handle the influx of internet traffic. They said no problem. And remember, Google's got all kinds of fiber that they can turn on if they need more throughput. So Google's Senior Vice President of Technical Infrastructure, Earl Holtz, has since penned a blog post which he reassures Google users that the company is more than capable of handling the load. He says Google Network supports products that people around the world rely on every day, like YouTube, Search, Maps, and Gmail. It also connects Google Cloud customers to employees, users. As the coronavirus pandemic spreads and more people move to working or learning from home, it's natural to wonder whether Google Network can handle the load. The short answer is yes. And so it peaks up. They just bring on more servers. And they can surge when people are doing Hangout meetings and stuff like that. It's no issue to do that. So Jennifer says, I was on Skype is problematic for me. I was on Skype business meetings today. It was kicked off 3 times. Zoom has been more reliable. So I've done both. We had a technical issue here on Saturday. It was my fault. The 2 cables are right here that I had plugged into a computer. I was getting a feedback loop and I'd forgot I had added some additional circuits in here to handle some of the special stuff we've been doing. And I just needed to make sure it was unplugged. Could have been muted and I would have been fine, but I didn't mute the button on the mixer. So, but anyway, I think these applications are going to continue to climb in. Well, they're probably peaked out already. Who knows? All right. So let me see what I've got going on here. Double check that. There we go. Virgin Orbit plans to mass produce a new medical breathing device to help fight coronavirus pandemic. And it's basically a very simple bagger. And it basically is for someone that needs to be on oxygen but does not need to be on a respirator. And it's just very hardcore. It's just a machine that pumps the bag. And we saw that from the MIT folks too. And they're trying to get FDA approval for this. So they just got a little motor on it. Psh, 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 and just sits there and pumps O2. So, but anyway, that because a lot of times if you need O2, it needs to be under pressure to you, they have to hook it up to a ventilator. But this is like a bagger. So, we'll see what they come up with this on that. So, a lot of people trying to, reduce the load on the very expensive machines. While at the same time, switching gears here completely, NASA's Mars helicopter makes last spin on Earth before July launch. They're keeping their NASA workers at the plant. I thought this was interesting. They still want to launch in July. And the Mars helicopter scheduled to launch in July with the new Mars rover, now dubbed Perseverance. And so it's an add-on to the primary Mars 2020 mission. And again, NASA is still striving to meet the launch date. So that's interesting that they're going to try to do that. And they basically have sequestered their workforce. So, hey, Kirk, thanks for joining the show live. So there is some work still going on. And in additional space news, 20 sci-fi movies and TV shows that you may want to binge on. So there's some that are out there. I've been watching Colony. That's what I was kind of spent the weekend watching. I was had to finish season 2, and I moved into season 3. I'm on episode 7, so I'm going to get this thing wrapped up pretty quick. But that show has more twists and turns than any other Netflix series I've seen in a while. It keeps it, it's not predictable at all. You think you're onto one thing, and all of a sudden it just shifts and shimmies. But more of the plot is coming out in episode 3. It's good space opera type of styled show with a little bit of Hollywood drama built in and some colorful characters. So I don't know if you watch Colony or not on Netflix. But anyway, this list of 20 is out there. Blade Runner, Moon, Snowpiercer, Hellboy 2004, John Carter, Event Horizon. Some of these are older. But anyway, 20 sci-fi movies you want to watch today on Netflix. I have the link up in the show notes for you. And also, what's new on Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu, and HBO in April? A whole list of stuff. So those lists are available here in the show notes. So I would imagine they're all trying to scramble and ramp things up a little bit because they know we're all stuck at home. Those of you that like Microsoft Edge, Microsoft Edge helps with password, reading, research, copy, and paste. They made some improvements. They're trying to make it so that you want to use this particular browser. I don't know. Some people like Edge now. I just cannot. Of course, I'm on Macs, so largely I'm just using Chrome. But I do have some Windows machines. I just still find myself primarily using Chrome. All right. Amazon has hired a Boeing vet to run Prime Air drone delivery service. David Carbon joins the e-commerce giant, succeeding Gur Kimchi. And this guy's come out of Boeing, signaling the retail giant plans to expand the unit so that it can eventually start flying regular 30-minute shipments to customers' homes. And I think at this time, this is another opportunity for Amazon. You know, if they can spin this up a little faster, don't have to have as many people touching the box and moving the box and keeping the social separation. So, hey, have a drone fly your shipment to your house. So anyway, we'll see what happens. This is actually probably a good time to do some tests. But 30-minute delivery by, I ordered something today. It was kind of just something I needed for my kitchen. And they say I'll get it on May 20th. So most of the stuff you're trying to get on Amazon now is not going to deliver in the next, next couple of days. It's not happening. They must be 100% crushed. If they're telling me that little simple item would not reach me until May. But Amazon Prime Day 2020 is still on track to take place mid-July, according to a new report. So, we'll see. There still appears to be moving forward with that. And that's if they get caught up on all the other shipping, I guess. But they're probably going to have a warehouse full of stuff that they want to move. For some reason tonight, I got a little dry mouth. So I keep hitting the water tonight. AT&T is offering more mobile hotspot data to unlimited plan users and waives activation fees. So AT&T is, again, giving you more ways to stay connected. The mobile carrier is automatically increasing mobile hotspot data by 15 gigs per month for each line on unlimited plans. This means unlimited elite plans will get 45 gigs a month, tethering per line, according to a release from AT&T on Monday. In addition, if you purchase or upgrade a device online Online, AT&T is providing free express shipping and waiving activation, upgrade and restocking fees, and the release. The company encourages users to handle bill payments, troubleshooting upgrades, and service requests through the My AT&T portal. Previously, we had announced that AT&T, along with other mobile carriers, waive fees for users going over internet data caps. Verizon also added 15 gigs of high-speed data last week, as we covered in the show. So everyone's trying to do their part. Considering how much money AT&T makes on mobile, they should. Going back to a little space news, NASA is going to launch a fleet of tiny spacecraft to study the Munster Sun Storm. Say that three times real fast. The Sunrise mission will use 6 CubeSats to investigate solar particle storms, and scheduled to launch that in 2023. Facebook, guess they're still working. Facebook's making it easier to see how much it knows about you. You can now see how it's keeping tabs on you across Facebook and Instagram. It'll let you view and download more of the data it collects about you, the company revealed today. It's expanding download your information tool on Facebook and download your data tool on Instagram to include more info it tracks as you use those programs, like what you add to your profile or which pages or posts you like. That info is used to personalize what you see on Facebook and Instagram, but it also raises, of course, again, privacy concerns. So you're going to be able to download more of this information. It's interesting here. There's a storm of information. So what we have to watch for, everyone's focused on coronavirus. It's 24/7 on the TV, right? So if Facebook announces a privacy policy change, or they're going to let you download more data, or they're changing something, that's easily flying under the radar here. So what we have to watch out for is these are times when companies have an opportunity to sneak some stuff out, or sneak restrictions in, or open something up that basically would normally get covered big, but because of everything else going on, is going to get missed. So this is where you need to watch the news, the non-mainstream news, watch the tech news cycle to see what people are announcing or being real quiet about, and because this is when they're going to sneak stuff in or out. So it's kind of interesting that they're making it easier, quote unquote, to see how much it knows about you. So some of you like the OnePlus phones. We know a little bit more about the OnePlus 8 smartphone. This is a leak. They have three new unique colors. It looks like it's going to be light green, kind of a reddish orange, maybe a little bit of yellow in it. Oh, show off a seafoam green, an interstellar glow variant, and a basic black. So anyway, I don't know if you any of your OnePhone fans, but that's forthcoming. Also, we saw a lot of these at CES. These were locks that you could basically unlock with your thumbprint. I've always been a little bit suspect of these. I've got a couple from Master Lock that you actually have to enter a code and don't use your actual fingerprint for. But TapLock is a company that makes fingerprint verified locks and has had a rough time with its lock security. Well, someone used a super powerful magnet, put it up against a device, did a little bit of a rotation with the magnet, and was able to unlock the lock. So they tried to be real positive about it. The company made a statement. Oh, thank you. Thank you for showing this. We're going to get right on that to fix that exploit. Working on a fix with magnetic shielding. We'll be back. Well, what about all the people that already bought one? So don't use these locks in any place where you really want to secure anything important. This would be like, you know, something in your house that would be like, kind of like, maybe it's got your important papers in, you don't want the kids getting in or something like that. I mean, nothing that you're going to have to worry about someone breaking into. But anyway, most of these locks can probably be busted with a screwdriver anyway. If I always used to laugh about the spin locks. And because someone said, oh, I forgot my lock. I can't remember how to get in. And I just take a big screwdriver and go bang. And that was it. That lock would open in 15 seconds. You busted, of course, but there was no security in those little spin locks. You could break into those things easy. Didn't need a pair of bolt cutters to open them up. You just need a big screwdriver to pop them, and they would be done. But you know, kind of locks that kids would put on their lockers in high school and so forth. So same type of deal probably with these. Now, this I didn't know. I guess we missed this. NASA officials outlined plans for building a lunar gateway in the mid-2020s. And the concept of NASA's lunar gateways, which would be a small outpost to build in a halo orbit around the moon, although a lunar space station might serve many useful purposes, the concept came about for one basic reason: due to limitations in the upper stage of NASA's Space Launch System, the SLS, and an underpowered propulsion system in the Orion spacecraft, these vehicles do not have enough performance to get astronauts into low lunar orbit. What? And then back out of again for return to Earth. Thus, NASA came up with a waypoint farther from the moon and not so deep within its gravity well. For more than a year, NASA's developed its Artemis plan to return humans to the moon by 2024, and the space station positioned the gateway as the command module where it would aggregate components of a human landing system and from where astronauts would descend down to the surface of the moon. So that's curious. Now, the NASA chief of human spaceflight wants to build a complete lunar lander on the ground and launch it along with two astronauts into lunar orbit. So we'll see what happens with this. So they may or may not need this gateway, but it seems to me like it'd be kind of a cool thing to have anyway, but probably at a lot of expense. OneWeb, remember OneWeb? They were going to circle the Earth with lots of satellites. Well, OneWeb has gone bankrupt. It's laid off its employees. It will sell satellite broadband business. And they said the pandemic ended the chance of getting enough funding for a full launch. Now, listen to these dollar amounts. This company had already got $3 billion over multiple rounds of financing. $3 billion. They'd already put some satellites in the air, built some ground stations. SoftBank pulled out, apparently, from an additional financing. So now they're going to try to sell their coverage, and that they've got some satellites up in the air already. We'll see what happens here. But $3 billion flush down the toilet. And it has $2.1 billion in total liabilities, including $1.7 billion in secured financing, plus money owed to between 1,000 and 5,000 creditors. Yeah, that was nice of them. A UK-based company that had its U.S. headquarters in McLean, Virginia. If you guys know where McLean, Virginia is, kind of an interesting location for a space internet service business. Amazon workers walked out in rising tide of COVID-19 process. Amazon workers across the country test positive for virus. Employees believe the collective action is the only way to get the company to meaningfully clean its facilities. So workers at Amazon Staten Island, New York Fulfillment Center walked out today to protest their response. Amazon's confirmed one case of COVID-19 in their New York facility, but workers say there have been at least 10, and the company's failed to notify workers or properly clean the warehouse. They want the warehouse shut down. They don't want any packages going out, nothing coming in. So workers at 19 U.S. Amazon warehouses have tested positive. According to local news reports, so far Amazon closed facilities only when forced to do so by government order or worker protest. So I guess these guys, I understand their concern, but makes you go, just a little bit. So Bob says SoftBank pulls out because their WeWork investing needs cash. Oh, man. WeWork? Talk about the worst business to be in right now. Holy smokes. All right. So, Bob, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here. Don't forget, we're going to open up the chat line at the end of the show. I'll bring that up. You guys can get Skype installed on your computer if you don't have it already. And you can prepare to call in here at the end of the show by adding the Skype address shown on your screen to your Skype setup. I'll prove it when we get done with the show. If there's anybody that wants to come on, as I said on the last show. Comcast says voice and video calls have skyrocketed 212% during widespread self-isolation. Why are they surprised? So video and voice calls are more than tripled. Comcast said traffic is up 212%, with overall peak traffic on its network up by 32%. And some cities like San Francisco, Seattle, Comcast says peak traffic is up closer to 60%. So how about these video chats and Zoom meetings? Also, people are doing yoga, parties, they're dating all over Zoom right now. So just like us, we're live streaming right now across five or six networks, but this is something we normally do. OpenTable will allow people to reserve shopping times at supermarkets. Well, here, there's no such thing. I guess you have to stand in line at some places, especially if you're going to a small boutique shop, like a steak, maybe a meat packer or something like that. So OpenTable's new tool allows you to choose a vacant time slot or join a wait list at partnered supermarkets and other essential businesses, much like setting up a reservation at a restaurant. Currently, six restaurants turn pop-up markets plus one local grocery store. I ordered dinner tonight from B-Dubs, from Buffalo Wild Wings. And I ordered, they got a special going on, $9.99. You get 10 wings and fries. So I ordered it. It was like 6 o'clock. They said pick up at 6:30. And it's literally the Buffalo Wild Wings is literally like, if I could walk over there in a minute. Across the street. And so at the appointed time that my delivery was supposed to be ready, I went over there, drove into their lot because I had to cross a 4-lane highway, blah, 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 and walked in and my order wasn't ready. And I'm like, you had 30 minutes advance notice. There was only one guy in front of me. And I said, how many people do you guys have? And she said, well, there's only two of us, one cook and me. And I'm just like, I'm like, are you guys busy? She said, real busy for pickup. And there was people walking in behind me. So they were obviously did not have enough people on payroll. And it took about, I went back outside. It was about 15 minutes before my order was ready. So there are kinks in this on delivery and shopping stuff. So we'll see how this works out with OpenTable allowing people reserve shopping times. They're making people stand. They're only allowing 30 or 40 people in Best Home Depot. My brother-in-law went there over the weekend and needed, I don't know what he needed, something. But they had everybody spread out. And then once his turn came in, he could go anywhere in the store to pick stuff up, but they only allowed 30 or 40 people in the store at once. Home Depot is huge. And I thought it was kind of interesting they only allowed 30 or 40 in there. Ford will make ventilators for General Electric, joining General Motors. So that's interesting. They say they're going to manufacture 1,500 in April. And 12,000 by the end of May. So Ford will pay 500 United Auto Workers represented volunteer employees to build the ventilators at one of its automated component factories in Ypsilanti, Michigan. And the company will build the ventilators around the clock starting the week of April 20th. Ford said expected to be able to build 1,500 by the end of April, 12,000 by the end of May, and 50,000 by July, eventually reaching a rate of 30,000 per month. So, they believe that GE Healthcare believes unpowered ventilator design is absolutely robust in terms of its capability. It's a simple design that can be scaled up quickly. So we'll see what they do here with that. An unpowered ventilator. Okay. Apple is reportedly letting select employees work on early stage products at home. So that's amazing because they don't normally let any unreleased product out of the building. So apparently requires a VP sign off, and they're doing like product check-ins every once in a while too. So curious. UK broadband providers lift data caps during coronavirus. So Britain's big telecoms have agreed to remove all data caps on fixed line broadband services. They become a lifeline for people. The companies include BT, Virgin Media, Sky, and TalkTalk. Committed to support and protect vulnerable customers during the pandemic after talks with the government and regulator Ofcom. So that's good that they're doing that. Twitter's crackdown on coronavirus misinformation. So they're deleting tweets. And Twitter deleted a tweet from Rudy Giuliani, quoting conservative activist Charlie Kirk, who touted hydrochloroquine, an anti-malaria drug, as a cure for the coronavirus. Well, it's not a cure. They're finding good results, but you don't want to say it's a cure. Twitter deleted a pair of tweets by Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro that cast doubt on the needs for quarantines. So, wow. And so I know that Facebook has been giving people Facebook jail already. I know a well-prominent podcaster, well-known in the space, they got a 30-day vacation from Facebook, and he, as near as he can tell, nothing he had posted was false. The information he was provided, he was linking to, was on CDC and a variety of reputable websites. So be careful what you're posting out there. You could get a Facebook vacation, probably not the time you want one. And then, of course, more spying. Saudi Arabia is being accused of, or maybe accused, of spying on its citizens via U.S. mobile networks. Its telecoms are requesting suspicious amount of data from U.S. mobile carriers. And data shared by whistleblowers suggests Saudi Arabia may be using a weakness in mobile telecom networks. The Guardian reports the data shows that over a four-month period, Saudi Arabia's three biggest mobile phone companies sent 2.3 million requests for provider subscriber information. Normally, that data is used to help foreign operators register roaming charges, but the high-volume requests could also give the Saudi telecom enough info to track users within hundreds of meters of accuracy. Huh. I'm reading through this. So they sent requests to AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon between November and March. So they're trying to pick up information on their citizens, interestingly enough. This is what we have to watch out for. Instacart workers had went on strike after rejecting mild concessions. They believe Instacart hasn't offered enough COVID-19 protections. So they say they're going to give them some hand sanitizer. Meanwhile, they're trying to hire 300,000 new workers. I don't know how many people use Instacart. In more techie news, a court ruling came down saying violating a site's term of service isn't criminal hacking. So a federal court in Washington, D.C. has ruled that violating a website's term of service isn't crime under the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. The lawsuit was initiated by a group of academics and journalists with the support of the ACLU. The plaintiffs wanted to investigate possible racial discrimination in online job markets by creating accounts for fake employers and job seekers. Leading job sites have terms of service prohibiting users from supplying fake information. The researchers worried that their research could expose them to criminal liability. So in 2016, they sued the federal government seeking a declaration that this part of the CFAA violated the First Amendment. But rather addressing the constitutional issue, Judge John Bates ruled on Friday that the plaintiffs' proposed research would not violate the CFAA criminal provisions at all. Someone who violates the CFAA when they bypass an access restriction like a password, but someone who logs into a website with a valid password doesn't become a hacker simply by doing something prohibited by website's terms of service. Criminalizing terms of service violation risks turning each website to its own criminal jurisdiction and each webmaster into his own legislature. So they guess they can proceed with their research. Sad news on .com prices. .com prices are on their way up over the next 4 years. Icon has approved VeriSign again. So the wholesale price of a .com is $7.85. I pay $8.49 at GoDaddy on a regular retail price. So GoDaddy makes $49.50, like 63 cents or something like that on a .com. Wow. So it'll raise up to $10.29 as the is basically the wholesale price by 2024. I'm going to have to sell some domains. It's a little ridiculous. It's we beat the price down, got it way down, and now all of a sudden it's zooming back up. Video conferencing app saw a record 62 million downloads during 1 week in March. Not surprising. Hey, Kate, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on. So are you cooped up at home? Don't have nothing to do? Well, you can help scientists spot penguins from space. You can seek out new galaxies. So telescopes are still studying distant galaxies, and penguins are still pooping across Antarctica. In both cases, if you're looking for new ways to pass the time while you stay home, you can help scientists by studying this. Citizen science is nothing new, but its particular appealing option is a spreading coronavirus prompts containment measures around the world, so you can count penguins. I don't think I want to count penguins. Why can't you get a computer to count penguins in Antarctica? It's not like it would be hard to tell, right? Contrast of white and black? Come on. Samsung quietly announces the Galaxy M11 will triple rear camera and a 5,000 milliamp battery. This is the latest addition to Samsung's entry level lineup. What's it going to cost? A couple hundred bucks? They don't have the price on this, but again, a lot of these phones come out entry level. You don't have to pay $1,000 for them. You know, 80 to a couple hundred bucks. HQ Trivia returns after February shutdown. The app-based quiz came back Sunday evening after being rescued by an unnamed investor, the Wall Street Journal reported. So I'm not familiar with this app at all, but HQ Trivia is back. More than 100,000 people logged in as Sunday's game kicked off. The Journal noted HQ Trivia said it donated 100,000 to World. Oh, they're going to donate 100,000 to World Central Kitchen. So they must have got a pile of cash if they're went from being shut down, willing to donate 100K to a specific cause. Samsung's 4K OLED Chromebook arrives on April 6th for $999. I bet it will be beautiful. OLED screens are just, I'm so smitten with them. They're amazing. While $999 is a lot for a Chromebook, the Samsung model will actually be one of the cheapest OLED notebooks on the market. And according to Engadget Review editor Sherilyn Lowe, who saw it at CES, it has a premium look and feel that match the screen. So the details on that will be in the show notes. Facebook has pledged $100 million to support journalism during the coronavirus. The grants will support newsrooms around the world during the pandemic. Okay. And what's last? Pet food delivery. Buy dog and cat food online for home delivery. And there's a variety of apps. Chewy is one, Spot and Tango, Farm Fresh, Nom Nom Now, Petco, Smalls, Petflow. These are all apps that you can buy pet food online and have them delivered. All right, just going to wrap up the regular portion of the Geek News Central podcast. What we're going to do at this point, if anybody cares or wants to, they can. I'll check and see if anybody's actually added. And as a reminder, we're going to be doing this every night after the show for the foreseeable future. If it turns out that we don't get a lot of interest, then I'll scrap it. But if you're a listener of the show and you want to come on, we're going to be trying to start the show at 7:30 Eastern. And then around 8:30 Eastern is when we'll open up the discussion window for people to come in, and we can talk about how things are going from work at home and all that stuff. But as always, you can send your comments to today's show at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. We want you to consider becoming an insider at geeknewscentral.com/insider by contributing $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 a month. Or make a one-time donation. That's always greatly appreciated. And we thank all of you that are insiders currently that are keeping your subscriptions going during these hard times. But here we go. I got video turned on too, Kirk. But let me just finish up here by saying, you know, you can check things out. And definitely appreciate all of you that have continued to be an insider and supporting the sponsor of the podcast. Kirk, you got that microphone like jacked way up, dude. How you doing?
Well, that's why I have to find it to get a spot. I'm in a very small corner, so I had to put it like on a table and a very small setup doing the podcast. So
yeah. So you don't, it's like you're in a situation where the mic can't, you're normally never on camera. So,
right.
Your face isn't covered up.
Right. Exactly. Well, hey, I'm not really. Yeah, because I'm in the in our bedroom where I do the prep
for the show,
and I do my recording, you know, for my podcast on Fridays. So I'm in a really tight spot here. So,
dude, what's up with the beard, man? Are you like going on a grizzly affair here or what?
Yeah, for the moment, yeah. I usually see somebody to get the haircut, but since everything's closed, you know, I'm kind of stuck at the moment.
You grew that much facial hair in 2 weeks?
Actually, it's been a couple of months.
Oh, I think so. I was like, holy cow! You're like the king of being able to grow a beard. So. Yeah. So let me ask you, Kirk, you guys went into the lockdown like we did 2 weeks ago, and we're starting on the third week, but you actually had to go to work for like a week. You actually were essential, right?
Yeah, less than about, I went to work. I was there for about maybe a day and a half. And then last Tuesday, I had to bring a monitor. I had to bring Ethernet cable. What else? A mouse. So yeah, I'm upstairs in my bedroom.
They didn't want you connected via Wi-Fi to the,
no, that you had to have an Ethernet cable.
Wow. So you had to be wired, wow. They were really worried about security so much. You had to be wired versus being on Wi-Fi.
Right. And there is so much software on it. I mean, but luckily, there's no way that I was going to have any of my laptop.
Right.
Putting any of that online.
So you brought, what'd you do? Bring a desktop home or a laptop home?
It's desktop. So it's downstairs in my dining room. And I'm literally, what I mentioned on the last episode, it's like I'm in my dining room.
Oh, someone say they can't hear you.
Can you hear me?
Oh, why is that?
I mean, I'm connected.
All right, I think I know what's wrong. I can hear you, so just give me a second. I got something muted.
Okay.
Well, that was dumb. Now talk.
How about now?
There you go. Now they can hear you.
Okay, good. Okay. Okay.
So anyway, you brought this desktop home. And so everyone's had to decipher the conversation here for the last 3 minutes. So you brought the computer home. And
the tower.
Yeah, and the monitor.
Mouse. Yeah, so it's like literally, everything's downstairs in our dining room. There's like, I have about, so where I'm sitting, I'm in my bedroom. So I'm facing like literally the wall is like right in front of me. It's like the table, not only a table, it's like a long, thin table with drawers. And I'm like up close.
You're perched at everything, right?
Right, exactly.
So most people, though, you're used to leaving work at work. You come home and doing your own thing. So having this, so you've had to carve out a space in the house where you can work.
Literally, and it's not that much. It's not much space. It's like literally about, I would say, with like inches, you know, because I'm, like I said, I'm in my bedroom, you know, and I have some room. That's no problem, you know, to do prep and do my podcast on Friday evenings. Excuse me. So I have no problems with that. But downstairs in the dining room, it's literally like I can move up, obviously. But as far as I want to like get up or if I want to move around or anything like that, I mean, I have plenty of space to move around. I can, you know, do all this stuff, you know. but I'm literally tethered with my headset, the mouse. Literally, everything's in a like. In a very tight space, you know, which is really.
Now, what you ought to do, Kirk, is you ought to don't give up. Well, you're not going to say who you work for, so keep that private. But what you ought to do is take a little picture of your home cubby setup without violating any, you know, security mm-hmm. from the company, you know, mm-hmm. definitely don't have their logo or anything on the screen, but you could, you right. ought to show your little tight working space. So
yeah.
how has your productivity changed? Is it the same or?
That's a good question because I was asking my supervisor, cause I'm on a 75 meg connection with Verizon Fios.
Right.
And I was concerned because like the connection and because the systems that we use, there's multiple systems and applications that we use. And I did voice my concern, and that was last Tuesday or last Wednesday, and I haven't heard back. The productivity, it's the same. It's nothing really crazy. Nothing's crashed, you know, knock on wood. Everything's been pretty much okay for the most part.
Well, that's
it's
good.
Just very so I mean so bring work home, like you know the old saying, don't bring your work home.
Yeah
I'm bringing my work home, but it's surprisingly it hasn't been too bad. I know that the company I work for, they're providing support to its customers and support and what have you.
But the position you're in, though, you often have to talk to customers, and it's not always the nicest conversation. I guess I put it that way.
Exactly. But for the most part, the customers that I speak to actually aren't that bad. Haven't been too bad. You know, don't jinx it, Todd. Okay, don't jinx it because I don't want to. Tomorrow morning, you know, it's like it's going to be a whole different story. But for the most part, I would say it hasn't been too bad, actually.
Well, that's good. And so what do you have to keep shooing the wife away, or does she just leave you alone? Or
She leaves me alone. She has she's fine. My mom that lives with us, she's upstairs, and she'll come down from time to time, ask me how I'm doing. She'll make me tea in the morning because I drink hot tea in the morning.
Right.
So she'll come down in the morning, make me some tea. You know, being a mom, you know, moms all over, you know, worried about their sons. I mean, I don't care how old you are, but, you know, I mean, your mom is pretty cool too. So all moms look out for each other. No matter how old you are, they'll look out for each other. So everyone's been pretty cool. I was kind of concerned, you know, that it was going to be disruptive, but surprisingly,
especially when you get one of those heated conversations with a with a customer.
Oh yeah, one I had. You know, my wife turned her head and like, what the hell was that? and she giggled, you know, and it kind of lightened the mood
a little
bit. Well,
maybe that's, I think what it does. Too is it maybe gives them some perspective of your day.
Oh yeah. And I told them that. Yeah. I said, you have no idea. Like this is exactly when they're saying, wait, they did what? And I'm like, see, hon, this is what I told you. This is what I deal with every single day from 8 o'clock in the morning to late in the afternoon. And it's like, and they wonder like why I'm like this way, but now I'm only teasing.
Well, it's true though. Most of us, when we leave the office, no matter what we do, there's that decompression time, right? Between the office and work, and you're able to kind of decompress and do the things you need to do. But here, there's no decompression. As I said to my team, I think it was last Friday. I one day last week, I was just kind of like, and I just put my coat on, and there's a kind of a complex here, and I walked around the complex a little bit. And, 15-minute walk to get some fresh air. And it really kind of helped. So I would encourage you, if you get to the point where you're like bouncing off the walls and you get your break time in to go out inside and walk around or, you know, I know because you smoke a cigarette. So you go outside and have a cigarette.
Yep, I do that too. And also too, where I live in New Jersey, in Hamilton, New Jersey, it's like where I live, the street that I live on, we talked about before, it's usually heavily busy. It's traffic, it's horns, car horns, and it's been surprisingly quiet. I mean, it's 9:20, so usually it's really busy out in the street.
Right.
You know, and there's a store right across the street from my house, literally like within feet, and it's hustle and bustle. And it's been actually, surprisingly, it's been really eerily quiet.
So I, yeah. So I noticed today, actually, the least amount of traffic I've seen in the this is going on the third week. So when I came in this morning and came to the office, there was no one in at the stoplight with me, and I waited for the light, and very few cars went through the intersection. Whereas last week it was like business as normal. So I wonder if people have just kind of finally hunkered down. Mm-hmm. And we'll see how the rest of the week goes. Now, another telltale thing is I went to get lunch today, drove through a drive-thru, and normally there was six or seven cars backed up in the drive-thru. There was nobody in the drive-thru today. I drove up, and I kind of said, you guys a little slower, because, yeah, it's been slow today, as handed my food through. But so the telltale sign. So what do you think? Are you going to be able to get in this in your mojo zone of working from home, or would you rather be at the office?
I'd rather be at the office.
Oh yeah.
I'd rather be at the office, because it's like, it's the, and I told my wife, you know, earlier tonight, it's the dynamic, you know, like literally bringing your work home. And also too, it's like, it's very uncomfortable being in one spot for 7 hours, and
it's not real healthy.
No, it's not. It's not. And we couldn't bring, like, you know, one of your team members can bring a chair. Stool or
We had to bring their chairs home. Yeah.
Yeah. So we couldn't. All we had was to bring the monitor, one monitor. Now I work with two monitors. So working with one monitor sucks, because like the applications that we use, we have some on one side of the screen and some on the other. So it's very difficult to, like, literally with our job. Do everything like condensed.
Yeah.
So, but I honestly, I prefer doing it, because that way we can spread out, you know, a little bit, you know, and obviously that, I don't know how it's going to happen, you know, next month, next few days or 30 days.
So are you normally in your office? Are you in a cube, or what are you in?
We're in my office is, we're on a second floor, and we're kind of like in a, not really a cube. We're about maybe, it's kind of like there's partitions,
right?
So I guess the cube, but we're spread out. We're like only about, maybe there's 23 of us in our office.
Yeah.
And literally I held on literally to the last minute, because I really didn't want to work from home. They asked for volunteers initially. I said yes, but then I thought, I don't know. I mean, bringing that stuff home, you know, confined space, I had to get it. Luckily I was able to get an Ethernet cable, you know, to bring it home happily, excuse me. But I just was like really wary about it. But then they said they're looking, you know, they're asking, well, why? And, you know, explain why.
Also, lack of space. You don't have much space.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, exactly. So I said, okay, if they need me to go leave, I'll leave. But I was voicing my concerns. And
Either that or get laid off, right?
It's either get that or work someplace else.
Whoa. Or
another location.
Oh, another location.
Which would be further away, way further where I live. So that's what I was told. Don't quote me on that, because that's what.
Right, right. Well, we're not talking about the company anyway, so.
Right. No, well, they were saying that one of the people were saying it's either work from home or you have to commute to another location. And I said, either way, I would have commuted, but I didn't want to go through all the hassle. So I'm like, you know what? The hell with it. I'll take it home.
Right.
So the cats weren't really thrilled. We have two cats in our house. You think your cat down in Hawaii, you know, when I brought the equipment home, they were running amok. They all scattered all over, you know, but it's weird, because they're looking around, they're smelling the computer, smelling the tower. And I'm like, you know, so I had to push them aside. Luckily they're okay. But to be honest, I would definitely do it at office.
You'd rather be at the office.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. They wouldn't let you bring it. It was interesting. They wouldn't let you bring a chair home. So what you got to do is you got to get creative. You got to get some, you know, some bricks or something like that, and you have a raised platform. Make your own standing desk.
Yeah, well, what I do is, I want to make myself comfortable. I have two cushions I put underneath it, and my mom has this really long pillow, and I put it against my back.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, it helps. Of course, you know, I don't want to take any medication, because that'll you know, I'm not off.
All right. So it's just, that's the one thing I hadn't thought about, you know, because, you know, I've always kind of had a defined workspace. And even when I was in Hawaii, I had a defined workspace, even though it was in the studio, I could still come in. It was set up. And so if you're not working from home and you don't have a really, you know, a lot of people just sit on their laptop on the couch, but that doesn't always make for, you can't work productively like that.
No, you can't. But the good thing is that where I'm up here doing the prep, you know, I'm able to, you know, because I have my laptop here, you know, yes, I have my microphone while I record because I have no mic stand or one of those.
Right.
So it works. I'm like really, you know, it works. I'm able to do everything with one laptop. I'm able to do all the, you know, put everything in the show notes and what have you.
But you just didn't want to load their host suite of software on your computer and be.
Absolutely not. There is no bleeping way. There's no bleeping way that I was going to even attempt to do that because they have so much software. But a lot of companies.
I know. It's the IT guys have got you loaded with their load and that's it. And so anyway, well, Kirk, thanks for the update. Thanks for coming on. I'll stay online.
Very rare that you guys see me. So just want to introduce myself, you know,
they can't see you anyway. You're hid behind the microphone. Don't worry. We just see your beard.
Well, I don't want to move it too much because I don't want this mic to fall.
Yeah. The mysterious Kirk Carlos. So anyway, thanks Kirk for calling in. And,
all right. You got it.
All right.
I'll see you soon.
Yeah. Be safe. So what we'll do is, if anybody else wants to dial in, feel free to do so. Caller line is open on Skype. We'll give it a few minutes and then we'll bounce out of here. I know the stream is about a minute and a half behind my actual speaking, so... but thanks for Kirk for coming on and chatting. But I think about that. You know, I've already been doing the homework thing for such a long time. It's evident to me that just in his call, and he's in New Jersey. I'm sure his house is a premium for space, you know, square footage wise. It's him and his wife, his daughter, and his mom living in a space. So you know, they're probably it's pretty confined and he found an area to work out of, to be able to work from home. And he says he's uncomfortable. Well, you think about that. That just adds a whole nother layer of stress. That's why we told our team members at Raw Voice, if you want to, you know, we basically did everything but let them take their desk home, to make sure that they got everything they needed to be able to be product, you know, and actually a couple meetings into our week, they said, "Hey, are my chairs?" I said, "Go get your chair." And actually I had Angelo take their chairs to their homes and drop them off because he had a minivan and some of them couldn't fit their chair in their cars. So anyway, awesome stuff. So it's kind of funny. Kirk's microphone's hanging right there in front of his face. It's typical podcaster setup. They don't worry about the camera angles because they're not on non-live. They're just talking in the mic. So, okay. So I think I'll give this about another minute and we'll be doing this each post show. That was funny. You guys couldn't hear him there for a little bit. I wonder if that made it onto the master recording. Probably not. Because I can hear him because of the way it's routed in the system. I can hear the bypass. All right. Well, I guess we'll wrap this up. And those of you that hung out live with me, you got a little bit of extra content today. It's not actually going to be published in the show. So, because I think there's that missing audio. But anyway, everyone, thanks for being here. And I'll be back with you on Thursday, Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern. If you want to talk about podcasting, we're going to be doing a Q&A for whatever time we feel is appropriate, and be back here on Thursday at 7:30. We'll get started 7:30 Eastern, and then do the show, and then I'll open the line up at the end if you want to call in and share your thoughts on what's going on with everything. Doesn't have to be tech, can just to chat, as I said before. All right, everyone, we'll see you next time here. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time on the Geek News Central podcast. Take care. Bye-bye.